Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, and welcome back, and good Sunday morning to you. And you found us back here in the garage. You know, we took a week off last week. NASCAR's Top Series took a week off. We did the same. But here we are back in what we would consider, I guess, our regular, I say that in quotations, a Sunday morning spot. And if you would like to join us in the conversation, we'll open it up that way. Feel free to do that. You can reach out to us via the phone. Pick it up and dial the following numbers. 347-826-9964. That'll bring you right into the studio with us. If you are Skype capable and you are streaming live right now on your computer, well, hit us up on the Skype button. That'll bring you in, and you can
join. We love our Frat House Sports Radio listeners.
Yes, we do. And we are inviting you all to get in the house here. Actually, out in the garage next to the house is where we are. And we do have the chat room open, so if you would like to climb aboard over there, you can do that. I guess I could, you know, how many of us are Twitter savvy? I've got Twitter open. If you want to reach me that way, you can hit me up at F as in frat, H as in house, at FH Uncle Mark, if you want to do that. So, you know, I've got that open, and if you want to do that, you can do the tweet thing. I know Frat House Mike does that, and he generally gets some good responses. So there
hey, Uncle
you have
Mark,
it.
Wasn't that a song back in the day? He's a frat house or something.
Yeah, right.
Wasn't it something like that?
Yeah, I think yeah. Right, there you go. I think that's the song for us this morning.
It was he's Brick
frat,
House.
He's a frat brick house oh, winner.
And it's she
yeah.
is.
Oh, okay.
Talking
I'm
about a hot
think,
girl.
I'm thinking the Foreigner tune. You know, he's a frat house winner with oil in his eyes. Yeah, right.
There you go.
STP. Well,
as
here we are.
We butcher everything.
Yeah, right. We're just good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're throwing this right out from the top of the get here. Well, you know, obviously we're going. This is a very highly anticipated weekend, gentlemen. As you both know, we're heading down to Darlington. It's hard to believe that it was 2 weeks ago. It almost seems longer. So much has happened since we had the Bristol race. I mean, it almost seems like it's been a month ago, not just 2 weeks ago. But, of course, you know, the Irwin Tools night race at Bristol. We did have that kickoff. That was on the 22nd of August. Here we are. Right? It's September. So it totally has a different feel to me already. At the same time, you know, this is a very highly anticipated race for some of the reasons that we'll get into, not least of which, of course, we're going to Darlington. Darlington's returning to the Labor Day weekend, so that's kind of a nice old reunion. That's the first time we'll see that occur in a long time. At the same time, we've got all the retro-themed things that are going on, and we're going to chat about some of that. I mean, it goes all the way down to the menu that they're serving there at the track. So we're going to chat a little bit about that. who the favorites are, because Sidekick and the rest of us will share our fantasy, you know, observations, fantasy projections we think could win. We've only got a couple of races left, clearly, until the chase for the Sprint Cup gets underway. We're back to NHRA this week. Actually, last event before we start the countdown to the championship over there. So we'll bring on our own Frat House Mike with us as we go a little bit later, maybe closer to the top of the hour. He'll come aboard and chat some NHRA, which is coming to us from Indianapolis this week. So there you have it. If you are out there once again and you want to climb aboard, feel free to do that. 347-826-9964 is one way to get in, or hit us up on Skype. That is another way to do it. Well, guys, I guess, you know, I'll mention this. The IndyCar, obviously the IndyCar series got quite a bit of attention since we were all last together. Matter of fact, you know, that race occurred in the afternoon after, you know, our last broadcast. That was on a Sunday. And of course we all got together, on Friday, ahead of that Saturday Bristol race. And now, you know, what was, I guess on the one hand, you know, it was great for Scott Dixon. You know, there goes Scott Dixon, part of the Chip Ganassi group. He steals the thing. He steals all the marbles away from, you know, what was going to be, I guess, Montoya, right? He was considered the guy to beat. And it was a heartbreaker for Montoya as he wound up losing the Sonoma race, and there went Scott Dixon. He took the checkers and actually took the championship. But on the flip side, we had, obviously, you know, a terrible, terrible loss in the death of driver Justin Wilson. Now, I don't know, did either of you, first I'll ask this, did either of you see the race in which Justin Wilson lost his life? I'll ask you that first.
Yeah, because I did watching it.
Okay, I did not. So anything you can, you know, remember, well, or fill in, Brandon, that'd be fine.
What was clear, not mm-hmm. too long after it happened, is they were already talking about addressing a safety flaw, and that's these open cockpit cars are open. I mean, what essentially ended his life was a piece of debris off another car hit him in the head while he was driving. And, you know, did severe damage, clearly, and then caused an ensuing wreck, which really, you know, wasn't the cause. It was the head hitting, the debris hitting him in the head with that, even with a helmet on, still, right, you know, was bad. So
that
they're talking
fatal.
About
yeah.
doing something similar to like NHRA has done in the Top Fuel cars, putting a canopy over them so that they are, you know, have a layer of protection against it. I find it funny that, you know, they immediately go to that conversation. I mean, this conversation was happening before Justin was even pronounced dead. I mean, they were still getting him out of the car and, you know, getting him into the ambulance, and then they got him into a helicopter and flew him to Lehigh.
Right.
You know, they did all that, and they're having this conversation about, oh, well, let's fix this now. It's like, why? I don't understand why these racing series always wait till this happens before they address something they know about.
You know
what I mean? You almost got to commend NHRA and Don Schumacher. I don't like Don Schumacher. I don't like Don Schumacher Racing, but they put that canopy on the car, you know, not because somebody was killed. They put that car because they realized it was a safety issue that they wanted to address ahead of time. You know, if I was the NHRA, I would mandate every car use it, because a lot of them do, but about half of them don't use it. So, you know, you got to watch stuff like that. You know, it's a shame. I mean, the odds of it have got to be ridiculous that you're actually going to get hit in the head with a piece of flying something off the car. But, you know, that it's really a shame for, you know, Justin Williams. He was looking to be a future star.
And see, but that's kind of the problem with motorsports in general, is while they say, yes, we're chasing safety, it always takes something like this to make a major change. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I agree with you. You know,
I just didn't like how detailed the commentators had detailed plans for implementing. So clearly, it's been something that's been discussed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean? You don't just, you know, in the 2 minutes after the crash, and you realize you got hit in the head with track debris, you don't all of a sudden come up with like extensive plans for putting a roof on them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
So clearly.
It was ironic. it was, yeah, I get what you're saying, I think, Brandon, and that is how, right, if they had this kind of detailed plan, why in the world has it not been laid out, and why was it spelled out so completely and effectively in the ironic sense of, yes, as we remove, unfortunately, the fatality from the latest wreck. And, yeah, right, I mean, reactionary versus pro-action. So I guess right tip of the hat to, I guess, NHRA. Now, other teams obviously picked up on what Schumacher had established there, right?
Well, actually, he made it. One of the rules of NHRA is if you make something like that, you must make it available to all the other teams. So I know John Force bought the canopy system for Brittany's car, and a couple other teams have bought it. I mean, when NHRA makes something like that available as an approved device, you have to make it available. You can't just make it for yourself. It's a long
right.
story.
It's not proprietary. In other words, it becomes
a they're not going to let
right or a,
not a
right.
safety
Got
thing. Mm-hmm. They'll okay. never. They would never let that be proprietary.
Yeah, smart, right? Beautiful. I mean, that's the way. That's the way you do it, and that is proactive.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think Schumacher would want to keep it away from anybody anyway. So, you know. As much as a lot
sport.
Of people see him as a bit of a, you know, grumpy old guy and he's not necessarily a fan favorite, I don't think he would want to see anybody not have all the safety gear they could have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's inherent to the sport. Risk is inevitability, though, right? I mean, now here's hopefully a way, and you're identifying it, maybe that they could add a layer of protection. I guess a lot goes into that in terms of aerodynamics and some of that other thing. I mean, the IndyCar series, let's be honest, has been sort of an aerodynamic nightmare all year long, right? I mean, we've seen cars flipping over and lifting off the track. And, you know, so I don't know. Would it mean that they go back to the drawing board even, right? If they're going to add a canopy. Yeah. Maybe that's good, though, right? Maybe it's time for that.
Well, I think what they need to do is, you know, if they shouldn't be worried about if the canopy slows the car down or, or, you know. I think what they worry about is they don't want it that the cars can't pass. You know, like NASCAR had with the older rules package where, you know, you got up to the car, but then you can't pass it. You just start pushing. I don't think they want to get to that level because IndyCar is kind of cool because they do pass each other an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch it, it's just
you
know.
And they don't just
on the ovals,
pass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like they blow by somebody.
Yeah,
yep.
They dart in and out.
I mean?
And
it's not like a you know like we watch in NASCAR. You watch guys going in the corner and they're like edging, you know, going back and forth, edging each other. You do a pass in Indy, man, and you're like zoom gone when you go around somebody. There's
well, at that Pocono race, they had a still shot of them seven or eight. They couldn't be sure, but they could at least see seven wide coming down the front stretch.
Wow.
On a
That's
restart.
Awesome.
It was insane.
That is insane.
And they still were 3-4 wide going through turn one, and they all stuck. So it was a fun race to watch up until, you know, somebody get hurt. I mean, you don't ever want to see that part.
Well, no. That's the thing. You know, and that is the thing. And, I mean, I don't know. See, before I knew anything about racing, you know, a couple or 3 years ago, you know, obviously most people's attention goes to the wreck. You go to the wreck. That's what gets the play on, you know, the local TV and, you know, your network news and, oh, wow, here's the wreck. And everybody tunes in, wow. And we sit back and we kind of look at that. But as I've kind of evolved in my understanding of the sport, clearly, more and more, I don't want to see, obviously, the wreck, even if it's not a fatal or one that results in a fatality, simply because, well, you know, just the nuisance of it and the time lost. And now, you know, we're gonna red flag, we're going to black flag, we're going to have to stop things. Oh, boy, now we got to clean up. I mean, so for all the reasons that are about what makes racing fun, wrecks are so not about that. At the same time, I mean, I don't know. There probably still is, I guess, an aspect of just, you know, the voyeurism, right? People tend to, like, tune in. You know, I guess there are people that just tend to tune in to racing almost at any level, just to see, you know, the sort of the macabre or whatever the case is. I don't know. I'd like to think as a society we're getting more evolved, you know, not less evolved. It was interesting.
I hate
know,
to blow it, but I
yeah,
tune in
you
for
hate
the
to right. You breathe. Yeah, do you?
I mean, I'm the guy that tunes into the Weather Channel during hurricane season just to watch death and destruction.
Want to see that tsunami go up over those barriers? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm one of them guys. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I don't want to see people hurt. Don't get me wrong, but
right.
I do like to see just the chaos of, you know, destruction and stuff like that. But, you know, I wish people wouldn't get hurt because of it.
No, I follow. Yeah, I guess there is something compelling to that whole random, you know, the random violence and that of it. And you're right. I guess if we knew that in every situation people would walk away unscathed, it would be easier. I guess it would be easier for us to tolerate it. But some folks, I think, just do kind of get off on it. And it's interesting. I haven't heard much from Letterman, but Letterman actually did. Somebody tracked him down, and he had a few comments. I don't know if I shared it as part of the outline, but he had some a few comments, you know, of course, with Letterman Ray Hall Racing. And he kind of, you know, had some things to say about that as well. You know, you kind of hope that, you know, with the evolution of the sport, there's less and less of those folks that just want to see the racks and, that's ha-ha, you know, kind of rubbing hands together. And hopefully, as you point out there, Brandon, that, you know, even if they have to aerodynamically change the cars or kind of rewrite the book, the right thing to do would be maybe to, you know, put safety first in a realistic way, not only there, but obviously through NASCAR and some of the other racing series. In NHRA, my gosh, and we could, you know, we could, obviously we're going to talk about it with Frat House Mike. I mean, who was the cyclist that I saw wipe out? I mean, that was kind of that was a major. I don't know if either of you saw it. I think it was Friday, maybe during one of the practice sessions, or it might have been Saturday for one of the qualifying heats. I mean, a cyclist. I was astounded. He got up and he walked away, but completely lost it. And as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope this isn't going to be awful, because everything shows up online now, you know, and sometimes it's running before you even know what the result is, you know.
Yeah, and that's got to be one of the, you know, you want to take extreme to the extreme, you know, get on one of those drag motorcycles.
Right.
You know, I mean, you talk about motorcyclists and, you know, the unfortunate things that happen because you're basically sitting on, you know, an engine with two wheels. But those guys that drive those drag motorcycles, oh my God. I mean, the speed that they get down the track, and what safety stuff do you put on a motorcycle?
Well, that's a thing.
You know, oh man.
I was astounded. His back end went out, and he kind of jittered. He jittered a little to the back end, jittered to the right, and so he was heading down. He struck the outside wall, and like he was off the bike. He was sliding behind the bike, and I was just astounded that, you know, of course, safety crews came out and, you know, instantly descended on the scene. And amazingly, he got up and he proceeded to walk. And his name escapes me. But maybe when Fred House Mike pulls up the leaderboard, he'll hit up the name. But it was an Italian.
Evil.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. The difference was he didn't take off and do a jump. He simply, it was the most spectacular wipeout, but once again, at least, you know, I sat there and as I say, you know, you're scrolling through and the video kicks up live right away. So even before I had a chance to say, wow, do I want to see this? It was running. And
there
was
you go.
I was applauding at least the fact he got up and, he walked away. So, yeah, our hearts and thoughts go out to obviously the family of Justin. You know, he had evidently quite a bit of Justin Wilson. He had quite a bit of contact and good relation with AJ Allmendinger, who, of course, you know, friend of the show, Liz. That's her favorite driver. They had done the 24 hours. I believe it's the 24 hours of Rolex or Rolex 24 hours of Daytona, whatever. They had actually raced together as race teammates over like five different years. So, of course, you know, it's amazing. We think different series. Oh, different series, totally different. All the, but, you know, it really is a community. The more you kind of learn about the sport, you more you kind of realize how they do kind of cross over into one into another, and you know the IndyCar into some NHRA contacts into the NASCAR, and you know it's really interesting how it really is a community. So obviously, you know, our hearts and thoughts go out to family there of Justin Wilson, tremendous loss. Let's turn our attention briefly, and anybody who's out there and you want to join in, please feel free to do that. 347-826-9964. Pick up the phone, give us a call. You can Skype in if you are capable to do that via your computer. The Irwin Tools Night Race that we ran at Bristol, it was a fun event. It's always fun going out to Bristol, as we know. We all essentially said we're looking forward to this race. It's a fun track, high banked. Very fast. We knew it would be good and fast because it was going to be a night race. It wouldn't be under the blazing heat of the daylight. I had to go back and reread because I started putting this outline together, obviously, you know, like on the 23rd of August. And here we are now. We've said here it's the 6th of September, so it's a very long. And I had to go back and kind of reread about the race because I'd almost forgotten about it. And I wouldn't be surprised a lot of our listeners out there have kind of forgotten about it, too. But lo and behold, Joey Logano, you know, while Kyle Busch, maybe, you know, up to like 3-4 weeks ago was in the midst of his tear, and he was winning off races, and we were following Kyle Busch winning races, in at least two of those events, saw Joey Logano pull the second place finish right behind Kyle Busch. Well, now all at once, in those few weeks since then, we've seen Logano do it. So he's pulled the hat trick. He's got his third win of the 2015 season. And it was actually his second win in 2 weeks there at Bristol. So all at once, everything's coming up sliced bread again. You know, I know he's not a favorite here for some of us or most of us at the frat house. But I guess we got to kind of give Team Penske some credit because of the two. Logano seems to be recently dominant. I don't know. Any of you have any thoughts or recollections going back to that race? Because, quite frankly, I mean, it was a pretty good one. It was a pretty good one. You know, we kind of had the battle there at the end. I mean, Joe Gibbs Racing going into it, they controlled the starting grid, and it really looked like, you know, it was going to be probably Edwards or Busch or Kenseth, you know, even Hamlin going to be the one to win it. But Logano did it, man. I mean, it was dominant.
Well, I think Penske clearly has the, you know, the class of Ford right now. I mean, Keselowski had a couple instances where he had to go to the back for different issues. He had issues on pit road, et cetera, et cetera. And he, you know, made his way up through too. So his teammate was to Logano was pretty strong too. So, you know, they definitely are the class of the Ford camp for there's no doubt about that. And I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of them today too. Oh, the Penske guys, that is.
No, I got you. I hear you. And actually the Blue Oval in general, because we have seen from the starting lineup, and we'll touch on that a little more detail as we get into some speculation. But yeah, it looks like the Blue Oval is well represented going into it this week. Interesting, you know, Logano, he led 28 of the first, like, 346 laps, but really he dominated the whole second half. I mean, it was like 154 laps that he actually really led in the second part of the race. As I say, you know, it's funny, they've kind of come on. We've seen TRD turn things around on a dime for themselves. In the meantime, although he's right there, I mean, there is no arguing that Kevin Harvick is what? He's defending his championship from last year, and he's doing a good job of that, and he keeps getting seconds. I mean, he's got the most second place or first loser spots all year. I think he's got, what, 10 or 11 races he has run in the second spot. But what to make of Chevy? Chevy is not exactly dominant, right? I mean, Jimmy Johnson hasn't really been there. We haven't seen Junior do it. Kurt Busch and Harvick, yes, they're top five. They're still maintaining sort of that top five, but we don't see them actually competing for the win. Chip Ganassi, I feel so badly. I'm a little disappointed. I was counting on one or both of the Chevys from Chip Ganassi to find victory circle, but that hasn't happened. Certainly Casey Kane. So I don't know. We're going to revert back. Today's the last exception where we have, you know, the rules package tweak. We're gonna marry the track with the new rules package. We're going to go back to the way it has been for the first half of the year. And we saw Chevy dominance. Any speculation? I mean, is Chevy going to suddenly wake up, or do you think the trend of maybe Ford looking stronger and TRD looking better, do you think that might hold serve going into the chase time? Any thoughts?
Well, I think there's a chance, you know, the Chevys will start looking better. I don't necessarily see the Fords and Toyotas, you know, all of a sudden become, you know, a second class to the Chevys again. I got to think that they've all made improvements, you know, even with going back to the rules package. I'm not saying the rules package may not be the Chevy car per se, but, you know, I got to think, you know, Toyota's made some strides in other areas other than aerodynamics. I mean, they've had some awesome horsepower in some of these cars. So I think it's going to be, you know, a good mix. I think we might see more running well again. I think Kevin Harvick and Truex and some of the guys who were leading laps early are going to start to, you know, because they got that setup down, they'll start to be, you know, more players again. But, you know, I don't think the others are going to go away.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you know, you got to know that once you get into chase, you know, once we finish up at Richmond and we turn our sights to the chase and the final, you know, you got to know that Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus are all of a sudden going to show up to the game. You know, they got their early wins, you know, and they tend to, you know, start tinkering and playing and, you know, getting that mad scientist thing going. So you know they're going to show up. And, you know, like you were saying, it seemed like Hendrick was much more dominant in the beginning of the season than they are now. But, you know, like Brandon said also, you know the Fords are going to, you know, Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski are going to be strong in the chase. You know Kevin Harvick's going to be there. You know Kyle Busch is going to be there. Kurt Busch is going to be, you know. These guys are all going to come out and play. You know, I don't think you're going to see a big drop off, but I think what you'll see is you'll start to see Jimmy Johnson all of a sudden reestablishing some dominance again and stuff as we get into the chase. And we start going back to tracks that we visited earlier in the season. Pretty much, you know, with the exception of Homestead, everything's a repeat, I think, just about. So, you know, people already have their, you know, they've got their notebooks from earlier this year as well as previous seasons. And, you know.
I think Chicagoland's also not a repeat.
Right. Chicagoland's one, but that's a mile and a half, right? I mean, that's a cookie cutter. Is it fair to say that's, I mean, so while we haven't actually raced at that location, we've raced that kind of track. That's safe to say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very similar to a lot of the other ones.
Yeah, there's not a lot of surprises in the chase.
Right.
Which is, I guess, one of the reasons why we're so adamant about trying to put another road course into the chase. You know?
Yeah, right. You want to, I guess, right. What would we say? That would offer, I guess, a little bit of parity, right? That would offer the one little, that would be the wrinkle, right? Because, you know, I remember we chatted about it last year when Allmendinger had won his road race at Watkins Glen. And the concern then was, well, that's great. You know, he dominated Watkins Glen last year. You know what the downside is? He's not going to race that kind of track again during the chase. And so, you know, you wonder, was it just natural progression that, in fact, well, since he's not going to run a road course, it was almost established, it was preordained, in other words, that, well, he's not going to advance in the chase because, well, my goodness, we don't have a road course for him to run in the chase. Yeah, so you wonder, you know, I'm trying to think of what the term is for that. But, you know, like I say, it's almost as though it's preordained. That doesn't mean that, you know, a good road course driver obviously can't win in an oval, be a mile and a half or a mile or even up to a 2 mile. But there is something different about, you know, that sort of road course, that road course racing. And as far as Jimmy Johnson, yeah, it's interesting. You know, I mean, he's been essentially quiet since, late April or May, because he put together like a relatively quick 4 wins in like 7 or 8 weeks. But that was early, and it seems a very long time ago. And he's really been quiet since. Did I read that his crew chief went off and got married, Chad Canal?
Yep.
Yes, I think I saw that too. Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why. Personally, I find that surprising. I don't know. I guess he's sort of like the Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly is to football in that I guess I've never known anything personally about Chad, and maybe there really isn't anything worth knowing. But I just kind of found that surprising because it seemed as though the guy's like married to what he does, and he's married to being there, and you know, he's almost married to Jimmy. You know what I mean? And married to the 48. So I kind of find that interesting that he went out and got himself married. I mean, good for him. You know, yes, we're not. I don't know. Yeah, you know, I digress. But I just that just occurred to me, and I couldn't help but say.
You know what it is, probably. He finally found a bride that wouldn't dump him if he cheated.
Is that what it is, you think? I don't know. Either that or she's okay. She's okay if he doesn't pay attention to her at all. You know, because, when we consider the NASCAR league year, my goodness, how many weekends really free does he have that he could even spend with her? All right, hon, you're going to love this. This is great. We can spend 7 weekends a year. The rest of them, sorry, I'm booked. Yeah, there's, you know, you want to come down and play in the garage, you can do that. I mean, I'm not mad about that. You can feel free to come on over, you know. I'll tell you what, I'll let you honk the horn. If you want. Yeah,
there you go.
We'll let you sit behind the wheel.
Ooh, you look mighty good in that fire suit, baby.
There you go. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Folks, if you're out there and you're listening to us, yes, you have found us once again here at the Frat House Sports Radio Network. We are out in the garage for Race Trim Motorsports Hour number 36. Feel free to climb in with us, 347-826-9964. You can Skype in with us if you like. You can hit us up in our chat room as well. There is some activity over there, and thank you very much for that.
We're currently discussing crew chief, how to keep your woman.
Yeah, exactly. right. How to keep your woman, right. It's not crude, not wives, how to keep your man. Right. We're doing the flip side. Right. Crew chiefs, this is what you need to do to keep the bride.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, exactly. They certainly do. Taking a look at it. Boy, it's now or never, guys. It's now or never, ma'am. We can see it here. And, you know, we still don't throw Kyle Busch's name in here as a secured member. But, I mean, for all intent and purpose, Kyle Busch is in the chase. But when we actually look at legitimately, I mean, it'll take until Richmond is done for Kyle to be the lock into the chase. But when we look at it legitimately, Jamie McMurray, winless in the chase. Ryan Newman, winless in the chase. Paul Menard, teammate, winless in the chase. But then it starts to get dicey. You know, you got Jeff Gordon closer to an edge. You got Clint Bowyer. Boy, he's right on. He's right on the bubble. Can we really count on him? Or shall we say no? There's Eric Amarola.
He's itching.
He is itching for something. You better believe it. Eric Amarola, he's within maybe striking distance. Oh, Casey Kane. Is Casey Kane too far gone? Greg Biffle? Oh, my God. You know, a couple of these guys, I don't know. You know, but as we said, going into Darlington, you know, the Blue Oval, Almirola, maybe today, huh? Greg Biffle, I don't know. It's now or never. I guess today or never. What's the thought? We've got two to go. Are we going to see a surprise, you think? Any surprises today?
I don't think so. I think you're going to see one of the two Penske's win.
Yeah. So
I don't think you're going to see a different winner. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think if you had any chance, maybe at Richmond, but, you know, even there, you know, Kyle Busch, Harvick, they all run good at Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you could see maybe a Tony Stewart, maybe a Casey Kane at Richmond, maybe even here, but I just don't see anybody beating the Penske's right now here. Not the way they've not. I mean, I watched yesterday. I watched a lot of, you know, the final practices, and then I watched, qualifying, and they just look like they got their, you know, package together on this low downforce thing. So, it's either going to be Logano or Keselowski in my book.
Okay,
I don't think you're going to see a new winner today because obviously both have wins.
Right. Now, we'll get to our actual roster choice, but just for speculation, what do you say there, Sidekick? Brandon says we're probably going to see someone's won before. I tend to agree. What do you think? Is there an outside chance? Is this a better chance than Richmond? Because I'll be honest, I'm not sure we're going to see a surprise at Richmond. I would think Darlington is the last hope for a surprise. Although, as I say, I tend to agree with Brandon, maybe that we won't see one. What do you think?
I agree. I think we're probably going to see previous winners win the next two. But I will secretly, I guess not secretly, but I'll be, quietly rooting for Kyle Larson these last two races to try and get that first win. As we discussed the opening of season, when we were talking about, guys that were going to, may get their first win, and we've all been talking about, Kyle Larson. So I'm still sitting back kind of rooting for Kyle to, pick up his first win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, comrade, obviously, I'll join you in toast on that. I was hoping to see the 42 get it. We like his paint scheme today. There's no doubt about that, the mellow yellow. And I like equally his teammate, in the number one McDonald's car. And I'd be thrilled to see either of them do it. I'm not sure, though. Yeah, I got a feeling. I think Brandon might have hit it right on the – I think he hit the nail on the – he hit the nail on the coffin. It's somebody here in the someone here in the frat house likes to say he hit the nail right on the coffin. Well, yeah, I love that music. What do you say we jump around? And we hop over the we can hop over the pit wall and chat up a couple of kind of loose lug nut stories. Boyer speculation continues to percolate, guys. You read the recent thing. Now, I guess this particular gal named Lang. I'm just gonna pull. Let's see if I can pull up this article if I have it here. I guess this gal's considered like somebody in the know in NASCAR media, because her tweet, Claire Lang, has gotten, you know, all kinds of speculation and talk going. And essentially her tweet, Claire Lang, Claire B. Lang, source telling me Clint Boyer to H. Scott Motorsports 2016, then taking over Tony Stewart's ride in 17. And then her reference is to, you know, obviously get over to at Sirius XM NASCAR. And I guess you could listen for more speculation in that over there. H. Scott Motorsports continues to say no to that whole kind of thing, though, right? At this point, they've had Allgaier on their team. They've had Michael Annett on their team. Plans seem to be that Annett will continue to pilot the number 46 next year. In fact, he signed, and pretty much delivered. Likewise, the Allgaier contract has not been finalized, but it sounds from every indication that Allgaier is not going anywhere, that in fact, yes, indeed, it's just a matter of another week, another day, another week, another day, and he'll be signed and staying on board there. And no plans for that outfit to go into a third car. There's absolutely no plan there whatsoever. But this thing continues to have some speculation, and then marry that into, oh, and by the way, once we turn the calendar to 2017, oh, don't you know, Smoke is out of the car, and he's keeping that seat warm for Boyer. I don't know. Anybody want to kick the can here? I know we've speculated about it before, and I kind of thought this would all go away, but it seems like this is still a conversation.
Sidekick, I'll let you go first, because Smoke's your guy.
Oh, I think this is stupid.
I had a feeling.
I just don't see. Well, from what I understand, this source has been right more times than she's been wrong. So people do tend to give her some credibility on that. But there, you know, like you said, there's been, you know, he's not going to HM Motorsports. And that they, you know, they've come out and they said, hey, we got Annette, and we're going to sign Allgaier. It's not done yet, but we're signing Allgaier. He's going to be back. The link with Kaufman and Ganassi, nope, sorry, that's not happening. You know, the story right now seems to be, I think what Brandon said a couple weeks ago, is it looks like he's going to be going the front row. Boyer, that is.
Now let's clear that up. We're talking
not
furniture.
Not front. Furniture.
Right.
I'm
furniture
sorry.
Furniture row. Right. Yeah. Well, just
one of those F rows.
Right. But in other words, he's going to join. He would get in concert with the 78. Got you. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, something's going on. Something's definitely going on with Tony. As far as, you know, We've discussed all the trials and tribulations that he's gone on. I just don't know if he's ready to hang it up yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I have problems believing that by 2017, you're going to see Clint Boyer over there.
Tony, not that different in age than Gordon. Matter of fact, are they the same age or within a year of each other? Is Tony 42, 43? Does that sound right? If Gordon is going to be or is 44, I think they're near the same age, which would mean, you know, 2 years from now, that would put the Smoke at, you know, that same age range as Gordon is currently, you know, like a 44, 45. Might not
I would
be all
I,
that
unrealistic. I wouldn't I don't know that I draw that comparison, though, because I think Jeff Gordon's retiring early for whatever reason.
He came in young.
Yeah.
He came in young. Right.
Maybe he's just tired of all the travel. But he's going to go. He's still going to have the travel. He's going to be Fox broadcaster. I don't know. Maybe he's getting older, has kids, doesn't want to take the risk anymore. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, it could be a family. I agree.
Yeah. Tony's 44.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see Tony. I see Tony having a good 5 years left in him, honestly. I don't buy this. Maybe he's in some kind of depression or something over the whole, Ward incident, and he just can't get his head right. It's a matter of time until he gets his head squared away, I would hope.
Well, and I think the other thing with Jeff Gordon is Jeff Gordon's jacked up his back.
Yeah.
And, there was a couple seasons ago where we were talking about where, he had problems sitting in the car and completing a race because his back hurt so much. We haven't heard it so much, I think, this year or last year. But I kind of think that is playing a little bit into why he's retiring. Because I think, it's like a Steven Jackson in the NFL or a Marshall Faulk or some of these running backs where, a Jerome Bettis, where these guys, come Monday morning can barely get out of bed kind of thing. And I think that may be kind of what's going on with Jeff. And I think we may see similar with Denny Hamlin, with how, Denny Hamlin's jacked up his back.
Stewart with the short of his leg has been pretty healthy, but his leg's got to be an issue too for him.
And he's had some bang ups and he's got his issues with his legs, but I think it's because of all the force and everything sitting in that cocoon with a bad back has to probably be one of the worst things to have to endure. Because there's no moving around to get comfortable. You're not putting the seat back. You're not putting it forward.
Are either of you surprised that, I guess, even the connection of Bowyer to the Stewart Haas camp? To me, I don't know. It just seems incongruous. I don't know how the connection's even made. He was Childress, right? Wasn't he a Childress driver originally? Clint Bowyer going way back. So, I guess he had. But that was Chevy. That was Chevy back then. But I'm not sure how the connection, I didn't see or haven't seen where, Bowyer and Stewart have ever really crossed over with each other. And I don't know why. I just find it to be somewhat incongruous. Anybody else? Does anybody else
Right? You're hitting it right on. I don't see any tie, I guess what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Why there over anywhere else.
Him. Right, exactly. Why him and say not? To me, I would go younger. So if you are looking, then I might actually give the nod to a David Reagan, who's just 29. Well, let's bring him over to Stewart Haas because, now we're looking at maybe a 10-year guy. Because, Clint Bowyer, he's mid-30s. So, he's younger than Smoke, maybe 8-9 years younger. But even still, So I don't know. I find that interesting. See, to me, Clint Bowyer, too, work in tandem with the 78, and the 78 becomes a Toyota, and Clint Bowyer has been Toyota. I don't know, that kind of works. That kind of has a natural feel to me. But this speculation just doesn't seem to go away. It's funny. We turn around and here we go. Now, 2 weeks later, and we're still talking about, Tony Stewart. Now, Tony Stewart's not saying a word, obviously. He's not going to say a thing. And we said, 8 Scott Motorsports is basically saying, the right things, and that is, well, we have no comment about that because we're trying to you know, get our 51 car back in place, and we already know the 46 is in line for next year, and if there's anything to see here, we'll call you. So it
right.
is interesting,
well,
right?
If you look at Stuart Haas Racing, and you look at who has been in Stuart Haas, you know, Ryan Newman, good friends with Tony Stewart,
mm-hmm.
right? Kevin mm-hmm. Harvick, good friends with Tony Stewart. Danica Patrick, they've got open wheel experience together, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, her and, you know, a junior coming in. Kurt Busch is the lone wolf. Those two guys don't get along. But it was Haas that brought Kurt Busch in and said, hey, this is my car. This is my driver. I'll
right.
deal with it. You don't deal with it.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about him. Right.
So, and like you're saying, I don't know where that link is with Clint Boyer. It's not like you've heard that, you know, these are old fishing buddies or,
exactly.
you know.
Right.
Or anything
yeah.
like that. It's just so random. You know? So
yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, I get, you know, exactly, racing buddies, you know, you think like, okay, it's Neil Bonnet and Dale Sr. Okay, you get it. All right, they weren't necessarily racing together on the same team, but they got together, you know, and they did things together and they were friends together. But you know, I don't really know where the connection is. With the Boyer thing, I just find it interesting, and it's going to obviously just continue to be part of the speculation, I guess, as we go forward, and that's fine.
Right.
You know, that's what keeps the silly season silly. As we mentioned, Stuart, I guess the most recent thing that we've seen is, you know, there's going to be, I guess, some continued wrangling in terms of location now of what court that we're going to make use of. Recently, it's been determined, I guess, that Chad Johnson, his crew chief, was actually at the Canandaigua location the night of the death of Kevin Ward. And in fact, he's going to be of value in the defense of the Stewart camp. I guess he is going to actually testify to what he saw. It would appear, I don't know, I mean, this is going to get protracted, but we should know something relatively soon, like only about a month from now. I believe I saw most recently that somewhere around October 9 is going to be the next date that we're going to see for some kind of hearing to take place in terms of this wrongful death action. It makes me wonder, and I've said it before, and I guess I'll continue to stand by it. Were it me, I don't know that I could do a full-time gig if I knew that, especially that kind of, you know, in a high-tension world of auto racing, I don't know if I could actually concentrate on that as my full-time occupation if, in fact, I knew I had a wrongful death thing tugging at me. So, you know... I don't know. I tend to believe maybe it does make sense that Tony Stewart might want to say, oh, you know, I can't. I think it's time. Something's got to give. We're hopeful it's going to get thrown out, right, Sidekick? We're hopeful the whole thing's right. We're hopeful this whole thing is going to get essentially
squashed. This wrongful lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
You can just drop the death. It's a wrongful lawsuit.
I agree with you. And, you know, I guess I personally take some issue with the fact that in many articles, including, like, you know, from sites that I read regularly, you know, the SI.com affiliated Beyond the Flag is one. There's others. But in many, many articles, and I'll say articles rather than blogs, because I do actually read some blog sites as well, and I guess I tend to forgive blogs. But when I'm talking about articles, I mean from, you know, media sources. How many times I've read the words that say, essentially, that Ward's death was caused because Tony Stewart's vehicle hit him. And see, to me, that is the crux of the case. And I do not believe Tony Stewart's vehicle did hit. And I've never believed that his vehicle actually struck Kevin Ward. I believe that Kevin Ward climbed upon the moving vehicle, which was piloted by Tony Stewart, and he was thrown from the vehicle. And so I take issue. Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about literally semantics and figures of speech? That's exactly where I'm at with it. And so I'll echo, I guess, what you just said there. I think it's a wrongful suit is what we're up against here, because I do not for a minute consider Tony Stewart responsible for having had control of and striking the person of Kevin Ward. I don't see it. I didn't see it in the video originally, and I still don't see it to this day in September 6, 2015. I don't see it. I'll be curious if ever they do release the other video. Now, we do remember that they claim that they have other video as well. We've never seen all the video. I would like to know what the other video is.
Right, and I agree.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying, yeah, Tony Stewart hit him. But I think if you looked back at what, you know, the what came out of the grand jury and everything was, in fact, that, you know, Ward grabbed a hold of the wing, got a hold of the wing, and then subsequently was run over, either run over because he fell off the wing, you know, or thrown somehow. I forget exactly how it went, but yeah, you know, basically he got on the vehicle and then it shot him out.
I agree. See, and that's the view I've always had from the one video that was available. And of course, I think a lot of it has been somewhat changed or edited since then. But going back to a year ago, and I believe our own Frat House Mike was one of the first to share it up right on our own Frat House Sports page, the raw video, my initial impression was he stepped over, as you say, grabbed onto the wing, stepped up onto the vehicle, and of course, you know, the back wheels are bigger than the front wheels, and I believe he lost his grip, came in contact with the wheel, and the wheel propelled him across, because he was thrown clearly up the track. But I never saw where it was a situation of, oh yeah, I'm sliding into this guy, I'm taking him out. I never saw that. He actually, unfortunately, Kevin Ward made the wrong mistake of attempting to climb onto a moving vehicle. Someone should have told him, son, don't play in traffic. But I digress. Okay, here we are. We're getting to the top of the hour. We've got a few minutes. We're going to bring in our own Frat House Mike because we do want to chat a little bit of NHRA. And, of course, we do want to get our Sidekicks fantasy picks in. So before we do that, 347-826-9964, give us a call if you would like to climb in and share in the conversation where we are here. Yours truly, Uncle Mark, our crew chief Brandon is with us, and of course our own pilot sidekick is with us as well. Frat House Mike is up on the spotter's perch, and he will be joining us in maybe five to seven minutes. Let's just really quick run around and talk about this Darlington thing. The hope is that this Darlington thing is going to become something of maybe a tradition going forward, guys. We already kind of know some of the retro, even going back to when we were all together ahead of the Bristol race. We were talking about some of the paint schemes that we were going to see, the throwback paint schemes. But my goodness, this thing has really kind of morphed out. They're doing all kinds of retro stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's really great. I mean, they're talking about the broadcast teams. They're going to go back and resurrect and recreate a couple of old broadcast teams that used to be together on NBC covering this Darlington event. In the modern world, paper tickets, you almost don't even see paper tickets anymore. I mean, when people buy tickets, you can either go online, they download them, and then you print them from your printer, or more and more, they send you a swipe card. You know, it's like a magnetic bank card. And, you know, you don't get tickets anymore. Well, no, over there in the Darlington, they've gone ahead and printed up very, very cool old retro tickets that they're handing out at the gate. We talked about the color scheme from the Grand Marshal to Grand Funk Railroad. The whole musical and Grand Marshal scheme is all going to be throwback to the 70s today. My goodness, even Goodyear got involved with the throwback tires. How cool is this? And, I mean, I don't know. Is it safe to say NASCAR might be hitting a home run here and trying to go back and get the old fan base and kind of tie it in with the new fan base? Eddie, thoughts?
Oh, I love it.
I do, too. Both of it. I do. Absolutely. Go ahead, Sidekick.
This is, this is so cool for me. To see all this retro. I hope they keep this thing, because we see it in other sports, in the NFL, you have the throwbacks and different things. And it would be nice if this is like an annual thing where, you've got the throwback paint schemes and, you just turn back the clock. I think it's awesome. It would only be cooler if you could kind of tweak the bodies a little bit to make them look a little bit more throwback to the stock car look.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm totally excited to watch this.
Well, just to give your idea some merit there, Sidekick, on the NBC Sportsnet broadcast of the Xfinity race yesterday, they were talking about there is talk of doing just that, making it like an annual kind of thing because of the response that has been received. The track's very happy with the response received, and it seems to be popular with everybody. So I think we're going to see it. I'd love to. I'd love them to, just every year, let's roll something retro out for everybody. I think that would be good.
Yeah.
It's fun, that's for sure. We're going to get, as Uncle Mark alluded to, we're going to get to hear Ned Jarrett back on broadcast today with Ken Squire, and they're actually adding Dale Jarrett into that. Dale Jarrett, I don't think, has ever broadcasted with his father, so it's kind of cool in the sense that we'll get a first time of that, little taste of that going.
Yeah, see, and, there's so much talk around, making changes to NASCAR and bringing in new demographics and younger fans and, and some of the loyal, longtime fans are feeling a little disenfranchised and feel like they're losing touch with the sport that they've known for so long. And I think this is a great way to bring those fans that have been crying and saying, I don't like the new NASCAR. I need something to cling on to. And I think this is probably the most, I don't know how they hit on this, but I think as long as they don't spoil it, a la the NHL with all the outside games, we're going to have, they keep it to one event and they go all out on it. I think this is the way that you bring all those fans back in and say, hey, this is awesome.
This
is why we love the sport.
Exactly. Right. That would be the message, wouldn't it, Sidekick? Essentially that would be, hey, you know what? Here, come on back. This one is for you all that thought we forgot about you, that thought we turned our back on you, that thought we didn't hold on to and cling to some sense of our heritage. So yeah, that's a great point. Here's the other thing, and I'll just kind of piggyback on. I went right to exactly the NHL with the Winter Classic, and I agree. The NHL maybe is starting to dilute that too much. Oh, we're going to have 5 outdoor games a year. Well, and now it's no longer special. But the Winter Classic has sort of become over the last 8-9 years. I think it's getting close to 10 years that they've been doing it. It's kind of become sort of one of those things that on January 1st, people kind of sit back and say, oh, that's right. Today, about noon, 1 o'clock, they're going to have that outdoor game. That'll be fun. And it's kind of taken on its own sense of, yeah, it's perennial. Every year you're going to be able to see that. And I agree with both of you men. I think this would be a wonderful way for NASCAR to establish a benchmark in their calendar year. It's not chase-oriented at all. It is back where it belongs at Labor Day. It's back where it belongs with the team, the track too tough to tame in Darlington. At the same time, here's the other thing that I kind of like about today, and we haven't focused on it because we're really focusing on the retro, which is all the fun side of it. But today we're actually going to have the tire. We're going to have the rubber that meets the road, and they finally, Goodyear has the right tire to go with this last rules change. In every way, sort of the Darlington event today is going to be memorable because, as we said, for the rest of the year, we're going to go back to the old rules package of 2015. But today we're actually going to finally have the Kentucky Aero package with the right tire that we didn't have at Kentucky. We're going to have it today at Darlington. So there's sort of the cherry on top. I mean, we might actually see great, great racing too. Everybody said yesterday, I know you saw it, Brandon, especially after qualifying, they were talking to drivers. Hey, these cars, man, these cars are hard to drive, but that's what we want. So today's racing might actually be great, great too.
I agree. It has all the makings for a great race.
Mm-hmm.
This track, you know, this package, you know, the right tire, it's all lined up to be, you know, right there. So I kind of agree. I think we could end up with a pretty great race tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm okay with it being a night race, you know. Unlike when we had the night race going back to Daytona, I thought they screwed that up, you know, when NBC took over and they made that a Sunday night race and then it rained. And, oh, my God, that was so – I mean, everything about that was just so sort of bad and so taco and so – lame. Oh my God! Everything they oh, we're gonna plan this, plan that. Oh, we got it all planned. Yeah. Well, you know what? It was a big brain fart, essentially, as it turned out. But here, and again, you know, as you both said, you know, hopefully NASCAR doesn't get in here and muddle with it, and mess with it too much. You know, hey, you know, hey, NASCAR, you're doing fine. Now, you know what? Take your hands off the table and don't do anything else. Leave it alone.
Yeah. Don't let Brian France near it.
Yeah, well, exactly.
My only disagreement with that comment would be, why the hell are we going back to the old rules package for the chase? Yeah. This seems to be the hot setup. Why screw with it? And I don't necessarily give NASCAR – I know why NASCAR is doing it, because the teams are probably complaining that they have more cars set up the other way. And
yep.
It would cost too much. They'd have to do, you know – Herculean work in the garage, in the shops in the week to get, you know, enough cars ready to do the chase. So, all right, I get it. But, you know, the racing's better this way. Isn't that the goal?
Yeah, but, agreed. Yeah, I agree with you. Couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely.
I would hope by next year the package we're going to use to finish the chase is history, and that they're going to have, you know, this new low downforce package available at everything. But, you know, obviously Daytona, Talladega are different. And the road courses are a little different other than them too, but, you know, for the most part, they can have the same. There is some variations we found out over the summer, but like Michigan and Pocono needed to have a little tweaks for safety kind of thing. But, you know, I think they're going in the right direction. I hate the fact they're going backwards for the chase, but we might not have a choice in that, so. Well, we don't have a choice in that, so
yeah.
I guess we got to understand it.
Yeah, we're going to accept it this year, but I agree with you. We're going to accept it reluctantly somewhat, Brandon, and with the hope that, in fact, you're right, that the competition committee and O'Donnell and those guys that get it all figured out for next year, and we'll try to have a little more of hopefully what we're going to see today, what we did see in Kentucky, because that was lauded. There's no two ways around it. Everybody seemed to like what that Kentucky race was. The drivers liked it. The fans liked it. Certainly the promoters and I think sponsors liked it as well. Everybody seemed to think that was the home run. All right, so here we go. We've got a few minutes after the top of the hour. We want to do this. We definitely want to bring in our own frat house mic. I'll give a let's drop a nice sounder here. Whoo, you betcha, buddy. There he is, our frat house Mike. We are going. This is it, frat house Mike. We are at the final event. The action's happening down in Indiana. It's the Lucas Oil Raceway at Indianapolis. 61st annual Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. And, I mean, this is it now. We're going right to the countdown for the championship. So, you know, what do we know, dude? Who do we like? Who's on the bubble? Who's going to make it?
Yeah, you know, and I'm looking at the calendar. You talk about it being the final event. You know, this is 18 for the season. And when did it all start? How about 4 days after the Super Bowl? Wrap your brain around that. And when you start to think about it, and we're still going to be ending up going right up until about November 12th. Somewhere in that area, November 15, before it's all done. Yeah, we're heading to the countdown. 6 events coming up 2 weeks from now. The countdown starts, and here we are at the finals. I'd love to say there's a tremendous amount of intrigue, but there really isn't going into today. And I'll tell you why in a couple of moments. Where were we 2 weeks ago? We were up in Brainerd. And boy, oh boy, we continued to see records being set there at Brainerd 2 weeks ago. Just exactly as we saw at the end of the West Coast swing. So we saw a lot of speed, basically, is what it came down to. Now, how did things end up? Well, in Brainerd, Erica Enders in Pro Stock won her 5th Wally of the season, clearly putting herself right there at the top of the board in Pro Stock. She beat Jason Line in the Pro Stock division. In Funny Car, well, Robert Height, God bless him, he got his first one. That's his first, I think, since going back to last season sometime. It was just about last year, I think, exactly at this time of year was the last time Robert Height had actually won a Wally. He won one outright. He beat a DSR team. God, that's tremendous. He beat Tommy Johnson Jr. And then in Top Fuel, well, there was another 4th car in a final. Brittany Forrest made it to the final. But she came up a little bit short. Richie Crampton won a Wally in the Top Fuel. And so where's the leaderboard at this point? Well, interestingly right now, in Top Fuel, 8 out of 10 spots right now have already been secured. Who's under the line? V Gaines. And guess what? He's so far under the line, he's not going to make it. Vincent Nobile and Drew Skillman are going to get in. They're not there yet. They're going to need today to get in. And if I'm not mistaken, today's a little bit interesting because the points today, correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, I believe it's a point and a half. We're going a point and a half in the Nationals. So there's added points to the whole system on the whole thing today. So
yeah, I do believe there is some kind of enhanced points. I don't know if it's, you know, 1.5 or if it's double. It's something along those lines.
Right. So there is the opportunity for somebody who is far, but V Gaines is so far out at this point right now. Drew Skillman's at 8:12, V Gaines at 6:36. I don't think there's any way that V Gaines can even possibly think about getting above the line. So right now, number one, you got Erica Enders. Greg Anderson is number two, obviously. Chris McGee, we've been talking about him all year long, number three. Only 2 spots, like I said, right now, not fulfilled. That's Vincent Nobile and Drew Skillman. I would expect both of them to be locks for the countdown following today. Here's where it gets interesting. This is the interesting one, Funny Car. Gortney right now, this is the most compelling one of all of them. Gortney is only 73 points out of the 10th place spot, which is currently held by Alexis DeJuria. So that's Gortney's got to come to play today. She better have a car. I think that JFR, the John Force Racing team, better make sure that they've got all their people working on Courtney's car. That's what they got to do. So don't worry about the other guys because Robert Height is in. John is in. John's a lock. Six teams right now, six drivers right now are secure going into the countdown. Jack Beckman leads the list. Matt Hagen, number two. Tommy Johnson, number three. That's three JSRs right there. John Force is four. So we gotta work on getting Courtney in. That's where it goes there. Top Fuel, only four drivers right now are secured in there. Tony Schumacher, Antoine Brown, Richie Crampton, and Larry Dixon. Milliken, probably, there's an outside chance, I would say, with the point-and-a-half system that they're going to be running today, Clay Milliken's going to have one hell of a car. He might be able to get in, but he's 124 points out. I don't know. Brandon, is that doable? 124 out?
It's a long uphill battle, and yeah. It's got to fall right. He's got to go, you know, all the way to the finals, and the right people in front of him need to go out round one. You know, it's mathematically probable, but practically it's probably not.
Yeah, that's my thinking as well. So that's why I'm saying I think there's not a heck of a lot here that's really, really compelling. I think the biggest, most compelling story going into today is the Courtney Force one. The ladder for today, where does it really matter at this point? Over in Pro Stock, Greg Anderson's got the number one spot. Jonathan Gray is two. Drew Skillman, there you go, number three. That's a good spot for a kid who needs to get in. Erica is coming up on fourth on the ladder. In Funny Car, where is Courtney falling in on the ladder right now? Ooh, I'm looking at it. Ha, not very good. How about 14th? Not real good. In fact, her first spot's going to be up against Tommy Johnson Jr. So she's going to have to, right first heat, she's going to have to go up against the DSR team. I'm telling you, JFR better have all their people working on her car. And over in Top Fuel, Larry Dixon's got the one. Billy Torrance has got the two. How about that one? Steve Torrance has got the three. Dave Connolly, four. That's a mixed up ladder for the Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
That you're looking at there. That's a mixed up ladder. Anyhow, we should have some good fun racing. I don't know. Brandon, do you know what time we're going to be getting this today?
Well, actually, they are covering some of the qualifying now, but I believe 7 o'clock we get the actual coverage.
How nice. So that'll be going at about the same time that we can be getting NASCAR.
Right.
No, it's not today. It's tomorrow. The finals are on Monday.
Oh, right.
That's right. You mentioned that.
Yeah. Hey. So it's not going to be crossover. Well, actually, you know, it actually may be 4 o'clock because we talked about this, but hang on. I'll get you that answer momentarily.
All right. Okay.
All right. Very cool.
There you go. There's our NHRA update.
That's our plan. And we don't return until 2 weeks hence then.
Two weeks from now, we'll be into the countdown.
Gotcha.
That'll be the first of 6 events.
Okay. All right, very good. So then that's what we'll do. We will bring you up to date, everybody that's out there, and NHRA fans, thank you, Frat House Mike. We will bring you up to date within the next couple of weeks as we get into the countdown to the championship with the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. Very, very cool stuff. Now, and we will be anytime, Brandon, feel free to jump in and give us any information. But
well, 4 o'clock tomorrow, ESPN is NHRA.
There you
Excellent.
Go.
Excellent.
4 to 7. So there you go.
That's good. That'll be
a
good
a
time.
Bow on that.
Everybody, yes, exactly. It's a good way to put a bow on the weekend. Anybody that's hanging out, you know, going to be doing a barbecue or that kind of thing, make sure you sit back and crack a couple cold ones tomorrow.
God knows there's no compelling baseball here to watch. So
No, not for us here on this side of not on the side of the MLB.
Let's bring in our own frat house sidekick, though, because we do need some fantasy advice. We've got about 6-7 minutes here before we've got to wrap it up. Darlington, here we go. The lady in black. Sidekick, we're looking for some good fantasy advice. Who do we like, and who should we play today in the 500?
Well, opposite of popular belief, I don't like the pesky Penskys. So I have not put any of them on my roster.
Good for you, man. Good for you. You know, I don't say that to you enough.
I did put some of those terrible terrorist Toyotas on there.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, with the Reed eastbound and I'm popping downers, this team just isn't doing too well this year.
Stop complaining.
I'm in the chase, but I'm like mired down in the teens as far as points average.
I feel really bad for you.
I know. So there, unfortunately, there will be no repeat in the regular NASCAR fantasy. So we will have a new winner this week as far as that goes. We'll see how I do in our chase format. But anyway, without further ado, we're running the, surprise, surprise, number 4, Kevin Harvick. The number 18 of Kyle Busch. The number 20 of Matt Kenseth. The number 35 of fan of the show, Cole Witt. And the number 46 of Michael Annette. And I'm going with the number 4, Kevin Harvick and Chevy, to get the win.
Beautiful hair.
Yes, he does. Now, on to the spring rubber in the rear. Again, we're running the number 4 of Kevin Harvick, the number 18 of Kyle Busch, the number 48 of Jimmy Johnson, the number 38 of David Gilliland. We're going to flip that number, and we're running the number 83 of Matt D. Benedetto. I'm going with Kevin Harvick and Chevy on that as well. I'm going with the number 4 of Kevin Harvick as my Eat My Dust pick.
Yeah, really.
Deep Benedetto, I got to be honest, he's got a pretty good starting position, 25th. He just missed the cut into round 2 of qualifying. I was pleasantly surprised with how fast he actually ran. So, that's actually, I believe I've got him on one of my teams as well. All right, who wants to go next, Frat House Mike or Brandon? Who's ready? Who's ready to kick up some fantasy advice and offer an alternative to the winning formula there offered by our own sidekick?
No, I'm good. Or so Mike can go. It don't matter. Whatever.
Go ahead.
Who's
Brad.
Up? All right. Unfortunately, my team's not really changing a whole lot. I only have, a handful of movements I can make without totally, killing the value. And because of what we talked about going back to the old rules, I really want to keep Truex and Harvick on my team because I think they're going to wake up with the, running the old rule package again. So I got Truex and Harvick and Kyle Busch on my team. I did throw in Chase Elliott, who won in Xfinity at this track last year, ran it last year, and cut for his first time. So he's got a little edge there. And, because I think the Penske Fords and that are going to do good, I was able to squeeze Ryan Blaney in. So I'm going to go with two young guys in Blaney and Elliott, along with Kyle, Kevin, and Martin Truex. I'm taking Brad Keselowski for the race winner, and Ford as the manufacturer, and I'm taking Brad Keselowski for Eat My Dust. I think I'm convinced Penske's winning this today. And I'm only picking Keselowski over Logano because I absolutely love the Bobby Allison Retro Miller High Life paint scheme.
Isn't that cool?
That
I agree.
Keselowski's running.
Yep.
So
yep.
Maybe it's only because I like the pretty picture of the car, but that's what I'm going with.
So he just
Betty advice.
I was going to say he just pulled the equivalent of a woman.
I like
picking
their uniforms.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Right, exactly. Exactly where I was going to go with that. How about that one? Well, I got to tell you guys, I we got only two races left. I feel real good about my team.
Good for you.
How about Kyle Busch, Jeff Gordon, Carl Edwards, Martin Truex Jr., and David Reagan? And how about that Jeffy getting a win today? Jeffy's getting a win today.
Wow.
Get some facts and come back and see me.
I would like to see that happen. It really is. That is truly outstanding. I agree with you. And you know, if he's going to do it, it's got to be like, you know, it's this week or next week. We had said he's kind of in there on points. He's not really in the danger zone, but you know, my goodness, two DNFs, and I think he would be terribly in the danger zone. But yeah, hey, go ahead. Go ahead for the 24. Put me down for the 78. That's my eat my dust pick this week. All right. Well, gentlemen, we've just about come to the end of our time. But before we do get out of here, I thought it would be a good time to let our listeners know what's going to happen going forward here with our broadcast schedule. Number one. The first thing, I guess, I want to let everybody know, and I'll remind, obviously, my crew chief and my pilot and my spotter. For the broadcast schedule of this program, Race Trim Motorsports Hour, and that'll be broadcast number 37, we will be joining you, but you have to come back and find us Friday evening, September 11th. So next Friday, we will be coming back to you. And that, of course, is because we will be coming ahead of the Saturday evening race on the 12th of September, which will happen at Richmond. So I'll put out the notice. We'll make sure that you're aware. But next week, join us Friday evening, September 11th. We will be going for strictly 1 hour from 7 until 8 p.m. Right here at the Frat House Radio Network for our Race Trim Motorsports Hour number 37. Again, that'll be ahead of the Richmond race. You're going to find that Richmond race on NBC Sportsnet on Saturday night at 7:30. So please make it a point to come back and find us Friday evening for our next broadcast. Now, before I highlight the rest of the network broadcast lineup for the week, let me ask you this, Frat House Mike, are we going to piggyback on that Friday broadcast? Do you know? Or is that still in flux? Okay.
Yeah, we're still not 100% certain where the fantasy program. That's the one question,
right,
is where the fantasy
right.
program is going to go.
All right.
So
all right.
We're not sure. It's either going to go Wednesday, or it would go potentially Sunday. I think there's three choices, but we haven't figured it out yet.
Okay. Yeah. Got you. What we do know is this: for the upcoming week, our cleanup hitters, all Major League Baseball program, featuring, of course, Frat House Mike and co-hosts this week. It might be Caleb. It might be Nick. It might be Sean. It could be all of them. They will be coming to you on deck at 7 p.m. on Tuesday evening. So right here, Frat House Sports Radio Network, 7 p.m. on Tuesday for the Major League Baseball Cleanup Hitters Program. Check us out for that. We also know that the Frat House Sports Show, number 209, will be coming your way this Thursday. And that'll be coming your way Thursday evening at 7 o'clock right here on the Frat House Sports Radio Network. Also, we'll let you know. We'll keep you apprised as far as our Fantasy Friday program, if that's going to be coming to you on Friday or on Sunday or on Wednesday. And the return of the Red Zone Blitz program, all NFL, that's going to be with Frat House Mike and Brandon. That's going to be kicking up over the next 2 weeks as well. So all kinds of stuff and great reasons for you to always keep your ear to the ground and keep your eye on the prize. That's it, guys. We got to get out of here. I'm being told that it's time. So I want to thank Brandon, Frat House Mike, and, of course, my own sidekick for joining me today. Thank you, folks, for listening out there. Enjoy the racing. Don't forget to always kick the tires. And until Friday, bye-bye.